Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
So... Yeah, when did you start recording?
Oh, right in the middle of that.
your vocal so fry is on point.
Yeah, the beginning of the episode is just you going...
It's gonna be the rest of the episode, too.
Greetings, everyone. Holly, what do you think?
You vocal fried in the car. I didn't want to point it out then, but you had one that lasted, like, a solid 14 seconds.
I think that's gonna be my teaching style.
It was just... But it was like an actual word. You were like... Whoa.
Welcome to Vocal Fry, our podcast on Futurama.
No one doesn't. That was my vocal fry.
That was his vocal fry, yeah.
No, I got it. I think you misquoted that.
No, I didn't.
But it could have been anyone. I wish it was. But it didn't.
But it didn't.
Anyway, welcome to Batmania 66.
That was when Ben and I went and saw Spider-Man turn on the lights. And
yes.
The best part about that is Holly was looking back and forth as though she was watching Spider-Man jump across stage, which is excellent on a podcast, having Holly just look back and forth.
That wasn't for the listener.
So today's episode has nothing to do...
No one doesn't.
Oh, there you go.
There you are.
I thought you said no one doesn't.
There. Nick wins the podcast.
See you later. Bye. Everybody. That's, I finally beat Holly. You're wrong.
I drove you here.
Oh, shit. Ben, can I get a ride?
It's not polite to beat your ex-wife.
I did yell at Starbucks today. That's why we got divorced.
Did you do it in front of people?
Yes. And then I started crying, and the guy behind the Starbucks counter was really like,
yeah, but did she beat you up while wearing a carpal tunnel syndrome wrist brace?
Yes, she did. Yes, she
That's
did.
That's a deep cut from Nick yeah. and I in college.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, today's episode is my... Oh, there he goes. How to Hatch a Dinosaur.
Guess what this episode's about, guys?
Is it about the Riddler?
No.
Is it about radium?
Yes.
So we start...
That's the answer to how to hatch a dinosaur.
Is it about dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs. Named Javi.
So we're just going to do a podcast that's a reference to other podcasts from now on.
I thought that's what we've been doing for the last 2 years.
Refcast.
Refcast, yes. So our episode begins, and the same scout and little old lady, because they're not Boy Scouts anymore... They're not going to be Boy Scouts anymore because they're letting women in.
There goes the neighborhood.
But you know what? The thing is that
know.
They still...
I don't know.
The Boy Scout neighborhood? There goes our tent city.
There goes our all-male neighborhood.
Worked for the Smurfs.
There goes Wang City. Wow, okay. No,
nope,
nobody make
nope,
the joke. Nobody
don't
make the
do
joke.
It.
Stop it. Stop. Everybody move on. So the scout...
Did you guys hear about the Boy Scout orgy? It was intense.
Da 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 da.
Bow.
Like to see the merit badge for that. They,
Just
okay.
Turn it off. We're
so,
done. We apologize. Good night.
So this reminds me of a moment from Banshees and Booze, which is Tammy and Amy's podcast. Tammy and Amy have both been on the podcast before. We sent them in our own ghost stories. They misread magnum cum laude, and it became a running gag in one of their last podcasts. It's worth listening to. I recommend Banshees and Booze to everyone.
How did they misread it? I just want to make sure that I am...
Oh, cum laude.
That's okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Anyway, so if you come loud in your magnum, you are having a good time. And the Boy Scout, wow, why did this all start with the Boy Scouts? It always starts with the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scout is helping a little old lady across the street, and they're about to step into the street,
And they couldn't afford the rest of the horses.
And they, yes, they couldn't afford the horses in this episode. So
that was a sound cue.
We hear the Cossacks coming, loudly, and they stop, and then we see Egghead on his donkey following behind.
Oh, so is that like a running thing that Egghead always rides a donkey?
Well, when he's...
The last three episodes.
Yes, when he's with the Cossacks, he's riding
okay, donkey.
And...
And is he always with the Cossacks, or is that like a...
No, that's just this.
Just this
episode. Okay. Yeah. Olga is the leader of the I wanted to say Pavlovian, but that's not what they're called.
bell-ringing motherfucker.
That's right. Damn Pavlovians. The Pavlovian Cossacks. But, no, the fake Russian Cossacks. And she's their leader. They are a dissident faction of whatever country they're from. Oh, here we go. They are... Stop clicking.
I'm not clicking. I've broken the pad. Broke the pen.
Stop breaking things.
And then, like, was like, oh, no, and then looked around to see if anyone noticed, and I watched the whole thing. Let me have it. I'll fix it.
They are from the country of Vestrovia. So, Vestrovian Cossacks.
Isn't that the same as the Princess Diaries?
Sure. I don't know. I'm boy.
Boys can enjoy Princess Diaries.
Also, the only reason I saw the Princess Diaries is because my father wanted to go see it.
Yeah, so...
Did your father have a thing for Anne Hathaway?
I hope not. She was like 14 in that movie.
Did he have a thing for Julie Andrews?
Probably.
Doesn't everyone have a thing for Julie Andrews?
Yeah.
You know what? I've seen
SOB.
Yeah, she said go. I'd marry her Poppins.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Val comes in with a thumbs down. Old not today, Satan from Val.
Isn't this podcast about Batman?
Sometimes.
It's about Mary Poppins, y'all. And the Cossacks are heading down the road. And the little old lady says, what's down there? And the kid said, there's nothing down that road but the Gotham City Radium Center. Okay, two things.
Just two?
One.
Pounds of radium?
No, singular sensation.
Ah, damn it.
Every little move she makes. And, okay, why does the kid know that?
He's a Boy Scout. He needs to know directions.
Yeah, like, I think I got all the vowels in there, so.
I don't think so.
I-E-I-O-U. All right.
Yeah, now you did.
And two, what the actual fuck? okay, so they go and they're going to steal radium. We don't know why yet.
Does this lead me to believe, though, that there's also like a barium center there in Gotham, and there's like a plutonium center and a uranium center? Like, if radium has its own center, they would all have their own center, right? Is that...
No.
Maybe?
Probably not, though.
I'm gonna say possibly. We have to wait until it's convenient for the plot. And...
That is... Yeah.
Olga, queen of the Vestrovian Cossacks, asks the Technicianski where the Hostef is, which Egghead, when the technician says, what is Hostef, Egghead says it's Vestrovian for radium. However, I rather correctly assumed it was just her saying hot stuff.
That's what I thought too, hot stuff.
And then later they confirm it, because the pantsless technician...
She had no pants on.
She had a lab coat and no pants.
I think that was just a weird dress.
It was a lab coat dress.
It was a weird lab coat dress.
And she had no pants on.
But she did have a name tag. I don't know if you noticed.
I didn't see anything past her thighs.
Well done. Yeah, and that's what I mean. Her thighs were well done. And
they were because of the Hostef.
Yes, she was the Hostef.
She's like, I'm right here.
My name's Radium.
You two are too much.
She could curry my favor any day.
No. She died, Ben.
What, Madame Curie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens when you handle radium.
She died. It's too soon.
No. If you let it go too long, she gets cold. Anyway, they demand...
You know, I have some eggs in the fridge. We can just start.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
Exactly.
Oh, dear Lord. Just...
They,
Mother
they of...
Pearl.
They demand 2 pounds of... They demand 2 pounds of radium from the pantsless technician.
And when she gets the 2 pounds of radium, she brings it outside of the radium safe, apparently.
Yeah.
And
where do you keep your radium?
That's true. You're right. But she acts like this radium safe weighs like 75 pounds. She can barely lift this goddamn thing.
Yeah.
And then when she hands it off to Egghead, this was like my favorite, was that Egghead...
Gravity shift, and it got really
heavy. Yeah, it got heavier. Although Vincent Price, who plays Egghead, probably, it's probably just not acting. That's just who he is.
Well, the thing is, he gets heavier for a split second, and then he's able to carry it no problem.
Yeah.
And Olga takes a look at it, and she goes, "It's not hot." And he goes, "Well, that's the lead shielding, you moron." Because, you know, that Madame Curie chick died because she handled radium with her bare hands. Oh, this is where he says they need it for their egg experiment. Mm-hmm. And we get a call to Commissioner Gordon's office. Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara are there, hearing about the radium heist. And Chief O'Hara says, "Not them Cossacks," which is totally racist.
So racist.
A little racist.
And we cut to the Batcave.
Another Olga Egghead caper. I think that's... Oh, yeah. We missed that part.
Egghead caper. Which, by the way, they've had one caper together previous, which was the previous episode. And we cut to the Batcave, where Batman and Robin are trying to use the Batcomputer. And Batman goes, "Somebody must have moved some of Gotham's radium supply because of how radio-sensitive our computer is. It's not functioning correctly."
If it was still in the lead thing, wouldn't it be fine?
Yes.
There was an actual moment when he said that line where I started doubting all reality and everything I knew, where I actually thought to myself, wait, is radium a made-up word to attach to radio? What is happening? Like, it just, like, I couldn't...
It spiraled.
Like, I just was like, wait, what's real and what isn't real? And I'm not sure. I still don't know.
So Batman gets the call from Commissioner Gordon and explains that the street value of this radium would only be about $16,000, which is much less than their normal heist. And so they must be planning something else. And that's when we get the theme. This was another 8-hour cold open. Like, I felt half the episode was gone before the theme song even played.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is actually the first time I've ever seen a helicopter shot in it. And you were telling me that I was shocked when I saw it, but you both were like, "Oh yeah, that happens now." And I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Yep. Well, because during the hiatus between the first and second seasons, they made a theatrical released movie with something close to a theatrical budget. So now on the television show...
And some shark repellent bat spray.
Yes. Now on the television show, they've been able to do things like go to the Batboat or to the Batcopter. And so they use recycled shots from the movie and then show the Batboat or Batcopter parked, if they show it at all. So this is... We cut back to Chief O'Hara and Commissioner Gordon with Batman and Robin talking about the heist and talking about needing to recover the lost radium. And Chief O'Hara says he's afraid of all the gammas and betas. He can feel them and starts shaking the bugs that are under his skin off because he is clearly going through the DTs.
That's not how that works.
Going through the DTs? That's totally how that works.
I meant that's not how his gammas and betas work.
Besides, why would he be afraid of betas? He is one.
Well, oh!
Yeah, and he's a total cuck, too.
We're old.
We can't.
We're
not allowed.
We're also not...
We don't have to be old. We just have to be white supremacists.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's an alt-right term for everybody they don't agree with.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was something the kids were saying.
Well,
the Nazi white supremacist kids, yeah.
I gotta check what kids I'm listening to.
Where are you hanging out? Oh, that's why everyone wears the same white outfit.
Thought it was bathrobe day at school.
Oh, Jesus.
Those Nazi youth seem so charming.
Nobody said that.
Hitler did.
Did he?
Hitler did it. Anyway, we'll return to HitlerCast after these messages from
Batman.
I'd rather
he didn't.
Mein Kampfcast?
I don't think I could participate in this anymore. I'm not going to participate any less, but just...
You're not going to participate in this Nazi party anymore?
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Yeah, Batman. Let's find a final solution to that conversation. All right, everybody, hit the showers. Anyway,
is anyone still listening?
Not after that, they're not... remember, send your complaints to Julie Taymor, CO Bono and the Edge@gmail.com. And they, which Holly doesn't have the password to, so don't send that to anywhere anymore. Barbara Gordon is talking to a head librarian that I don't recall ever seeing before.
Who can barely read.
Who says library later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But explains that she needs to get this book to Professor Dactyl at the, I guess it's the Gotham Museum of Natural History or something. But she's got to get a book about dinosaurs to Prof. Dactyl, Professor Dactyl.
Who I imagine his name is Terrence and his friends call him Terry.
Yes. Just like, wasn't that the name of the dinosaur on Pee-wee's World? Wasn't it Terry the Pterodactyl?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Okay, now that's who she was delivering the book to. Decided. It's canon. And...
That's the word of the day.
Well, can we do a podcast? Well, I don't know. We don't need to do a podcast about Pee-wee's Playhouse. Okay, we do. We can call it Pee-wee's Playcast. And...
Yeah. Oh, boy.
We didn't call it Pee-wee's Digital Photo Collection. It was fine.
Anyways.
And we get to the Museum of Natural History, and there is a giant egg.
Yeah.
A giant egg. It is a Neosaurus egg.
And giant, like, 6'2" giant. Like, yeah. When people stand up next to it, they are dwarfed by the size of the egg.
A standing human being could fit inside this egg.
Spoiler alert, one will be fitting inside this egg later.
But nobody knows how. They start talking about the egg, and Barbara says, aren't you worried somebody's gonna steal it? Because there is an egg-themed criminal on the loose in Gotham right now. And the guy says, it's worthless. It's just priceless human history, or priceless natural history. And they walk away, and Olga and Egghead pop out from behind a skull.
What was Olga's line? It hot behind...
Fossil.
Fossil.
Yes.
And I was like, well, Vincent Price is pretty warm.
Well, the fossil's made of radium, is what I think is the answer.
I was calling Vincent Price the fossil.
Oh, that's mean. Vincent Price is charming.
I thought you were saying he was flaming.
No.
No, he's Hustiff. And I'm gonna name somebody Hostiff in something I write at some point. Stole the egg. Oh, this is, I don't remember why he says it, but he says existing in this, and we find out that their big plan is that they're gonna steal the egg and hatch it. So they go to steal the egg. We don't see them steal the egg. We see the phone call in Commissioner Gordon's office.
Which I was very, very angry about. That we didn't see it happen, that it just cut to
phone. And they steal the egg off camera. Batman and Robin decide to try and use the Batcomputer to find out what's going on. And the Batcomputer doesn't work. For whatever reason, it can't figure out what 2 pounds of radium and a giant fossilized egg would do together. And so they decide this is old style brain power is necessary. And literally, Batman, like Winnie the Pooh, just puts his head up, fingers up to his temple,
think, think, think.
And then he holds that pose for 9 minutes, apparently.
Something like that.
It was amazing. It was a full cutaway, and then a cut back.
And what we find out is that Batman realizes, oh, there's this professor, another professor, who...
A nutty professor?
Yes. Came up with an article that he needs to see.
Hercules!
Really? You go with the Eddie Murphy nutty
no,
professor?
No, I didn't go there either.
Yeah.
There's another nutty professor?
Yes. Yes. Professor Peanut.
Y'all, I said that just to get a rise, and it worked.
I didn't say anything, because I knew what you were doing.
I know.
Oh, you got a rise. Anyway.
Professor.
Professor.
And Marianne.
And Marianne. And the rest.
They are the rest.
Do you know the story about that? Okay. Sorry. Digression. But
you have to be to work in an hour.
I would like to point out that this is Digression Cast today. Yes. There has been no progression.
Not just
so,
today.
Gilligan the Skipper, the millionaire and his wife, and the rest.
The movie star.
Yeah.
And the rest.
So that was the original theme song. Bob Denver hated the fact that the professor and Marianne were getting aced out and weren't mentioned. And so he said, I want them in the theme song. And they said, no, we're not re-recording it. And he said, okay, then you have to take my name out of the theme song. And they went, what? He went, it says in my contract that I get to determine where I am in the credits. And the theme song. I want to be part of And the Rest now. And so he demanded that either they add them in or they take him out of the theme song. And so he stood up for his co-stars. It was pretty cool, actually.
That is sweet.
Anyway, on the phone with...
So it's just Gilligan and Marianne that have their names in it? Everybody else, it's their occupation or lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, the professor is called Professor, isn't it?
Yes. Do you know his name?
Bob his name Hoskins.
His name is Robert Paulson. His name is Jonas Grumby.
No, that's the skipper.
No, that's the skipper.
Jonas Grumby.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I looked up
the professor. I don't know who the professor's name
professor
is.
Professor is
he was on X. For sex appeal. That was his whole role.
Was sex appeal?
I'm not even joking.
For who?
For women.
Yeah, but like the skipper was the sex appeal. Alan Hale.
Yeah. Alan Hale Jr.
He was on Batman.
Oh, that's right. The professor's name is Hinckley. Roy Hinckley.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
didn't he shoot...
Yeah. No. He was the one who found the alien supersuit before he shot the president.
Yeah.
You know that, right? Greatest American Hero, the character's name was Hinckley.
Yeah, I know.
And then Hinckley shot Reagan, and they changed him to Mr. H and thought no one would notice.
Like, yeah.
Don't pay it. It's fine. Pay no attention to the man behind the handgun. And they... Holly seems really disturbed by that. Anyway, think. Oh, they realize that there's this article by this professor that may help them out, and they go trying to find the applied West End Journal of super zappy radiation things. And
yep.
It's exactly what it's called.
Yeah, it was the journal started by the nutty professor.
The amazing part about this journal was like, they were like, oh man, if I could only remember this like journal and get the title of the article, we can figure out what this is for.
Yeah.
And then when we find out the title of the article, it's like, it's something to the effect
it's
of...
Revitalizing Fossil Forms with Use of Radio, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
But the title of the article is everything they needed to know.
Yeah, it was like it was one of those things where, I mean, I was just delighted. I was just delighted that he remembered that there was an article, but he didn't remember what the article's about. But it turned out the title of the article was exactly what the article's
about.
But
Batman calls up...
As it should be.
Yeah.
Batman calls up from the Batcave. And while that's happening, Barbara Gordon calls Alfred from the library because...
Barry.
Because, yes, the library. And...
The librarian told us it was the librarian. Yes, so she did tell us. We should go ahead and use her term.
Literacy's greatest villain, the librarian.
It's what happened to the peculiar purple pie man after he left Strawberry Land.
Because we find out that due to budget cuts, the library no longer subscribes to that particular tech journal, and Bruce Wayne is the only person in Gotham who subscribes to more periodicals than the library.
Because his budget was not cut.
Yes.
Apparently he doesn't read them, though. He just looks over the titles.
That's all you need. If it's a good article, you can tell it all from the title.
Clearly.
And Alfred is talking on two phones at once.
This is my favorite scene ever.
To both Batman and Barbara Gordon.
Just from all the eyebrow acting.
And being and fumfering very much.
Which line is which person I'm talking to on?
Were you here when I realized that Alfred was an actor and not Alfred?
No, I think that was just the two of us. It was great.
Wait, what?
Alfred played his own cousin. Alan Napier Jr. played his own cousin. And Holly...
Played Alfred's cousin. Not...
That would be really weird. Hi, I'm the cousin of an actor on a TV show. Welcome to Gotham.
It's like that one time that both Mark Hamill and Luke Skywalker were guest stars on The Muppet Show. But anyway, so he was playing... Alan Napier was playing Alfred's cousin, as well as Alfred, and Holly was very disturbed. Because
I actually think I was here for that.
I thought you were. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I think I was here for that. But I forgot.
I know that I've teased you about it an awful lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah.
That was just one of those times where you're like, oh, yeah.
Because the funniest thing about it is Holly 100%, and we've talked about this before. Yeah, Adam West plays Batman, and Burt Ward plays Robin. But Alfred is
Alfred.
Yeah.
And some guy plays Potato O'Connor.
Potato O'Connor, he was back gone. I was so excited. He's the cop that just stands in the room and doesn't really... just send him to go do something. That's his job.
And so you've nicknamed him Potato O'Connor?
Yes, we have. Yes.
Okay.
That was care of Eric, who was one of our very, very first guests, who dubbed him Potatoes O'Connor in the second or third episode. So yeah, revitalizing fossil forms. So they figure out what's going to be happening. Egghead then calls them dynamic dimwits at one point before they get there, and I kind of loved that.
I also loved when Egghead was like, we are going to make... I was going to do a bad... That was a really terrible Vincent Price, but yeah. When he says...
I thought that was a bad Olga.
When Olga's like, what are we going to do with the dinosaur that we hatched? He's like, we're going to give it a three-course meal.
Oh, yeah.
Batman, Robin... Batgirl, and then for dessert,
Chief O'Hara and Commissioner Gordon.
And I was like, that's a four-course meal. It's a four-course meal. And my favorite part was Holly was like, but no, Chief O'Hara and Commissioner Gordon are both dessert. And I was like, yes.
Beat.
Oh.
There's no Oxford comma, so Batman and Robin are one meal.
No. I think I figured it out. The three-course meal is the bat trifecta, and then he bonus added dessert.
No, but that's a course.
I know, but I think it was an afterthought.
Do you think Egghead's just bad at dinner is what the problem
clearly,
is?
Because he's a like, breakfast person?
He's like, eggs.
We're going to make you a souffle.
Eggs.
An omelet.
A nice custard.
A custard. A quiche. Did I already say omelets?
Caviar for the appetizer.
Ah, yes.
And some Cadbury eggs.
For dessert. Four-course meal. Three-course meal. Seven-course meal. Who cares? I can't count.
I don't care. I like eggs.
It'll be one shell of a meal.
Oh, that was a terrible yolk, Ben.
Anyway, so Batman and Robin and Batgirl, all independently of each other, slap a radiation detector to their cars. And they follow it, and they end up following it and meeting up right at the warehouse where Egghead and Olga are planning their resurrection of this dinosaur.
And I was very angry by the fact that the Batgirl cycle, what is it, what are they? Anyways, it's covered in lace, and I was not happy about that when I realized that.
Because it would tatter in the wind, yeah. It's not really effective.
Yes, that too. That too. Do you know how dirty that would get if she went through mud? Oh, Lord.
Oh, dear.
It's like the bed skirt of motorcycles.
Motorcycle Bed Skirt is the name of my prog rock band.
I like it.
I was just going to say, I feel like that's the first time that sentence has ever been used. It's like the bed skirt of motorcycles.
So Holly's got a new sentence, trademark Holly. Trademark Holly Core. Oh, and we have our onomatopoeia fight.
Splat, boff, clank.
And while the onomatopoeia fight is going on, Robin gets cornered. Actually, Batgirl gets cornered by Egghead, who draws a sword on her. Yeah?
Wait, does this... Are you going to say... Because... Well, first, there's two things that I really need to get out.
Do you smell toast?
I do. Look, so like the two. So first of all,
second with the third.
Yeah.
And then,
hold on.
Oh no!
I'm so excited.
He's skipping.
Yeah. The
take the cartridge out and blow into it.
The fact that there was like in the Egghead layer, or the nest, as I'm gonna call it. There are just stuffed bears everywhere?
Yeah, that's a...
Is that normal?
No, that's what Vesrovians do.
Yeah, that's what they bring to the table.
And then there's just the one stuffed bear. And then those bears are just getting knocked down and flying everywhere. And then, and I think this is before the fight, or maybe it's not.
It's like a West Hollywood massacre.
Oh, so, damn it, Ben! I was just gonna say, Bejeweled Stuffed Bear is your drag name.
Oh, boy. Are you getting to when Egghead says the thing to Robin that was my favorite thing in the entire world?
Yes. We've got two more notes before that, but yes. Okay. So Batgirl gets cornered by Egghead, who draws a sword around her neck, calls for Robin to look. He does, and then a Cossack literally taps him on the head twice with his fist, and Robin is out cold.
Tap, tap. And then, no, but for like a minute, because he's awake in the next scene.
And isn't that when, Batgirl says something to the effect of, like, how dare you do something so terrible and awful? Is that right?
I don't know.
I mean
this is where
one of us has a degree in writing, and
this is where Olga does question where Batushka is. I think she calls him Mansky Batushka at one point, and then refers to him as Batushka the next. And then I don't remember what exactly he was talking about, but Egghead says something was extreme. And this is where he shouts at Robin to be quiet, Wonder Midget.
Oh my Lord.
Which, I will say, is not the most clever of derivations of their nicknames, but was delivered with honest vitriol. Like, he seemed really pissed.
Well, that was the thing about Vincent Price in this, is like, I almost felt like no one told Vincent Price, like, hey, do you know what this show is? Because he went after it like it was fucking House of Wax.
But this is when the villains work the best. When they really just attack it. Like,
I mean, it's every time Frank Gorshin's on screen. Not a piece of scenery remains.
Who's Frank Gorshin?
The Riddler.
Oh, the Riddler. Right, I remember. He was great. I've seen a couple of Riddler episodes.
The thing about Frank Gorshin as the Riddler is that, yes, he's over the top, and yes, the show is ridiculous, but if you took that same performance, and actually we talked about this with Tammy in the second episode, if you took that performance and just changed everything around it to be part of the Christopher Nolan universe, it would be fucking terrifying.
It really would.
I just like what you basically said, though, is like, if you took the performance and just changed everything.
No, everything.
No, I know.
If you took the Riddler and his performance and put it into a Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, it would be chilling.
Yeah.
Absolutely chilling.
I don't think that's the same, though, with Vincent Price, because nothing about Vincent Price is chilling.
What are you talking about? Then why is he the beginning of Thriller?
and the why end is he of the, Thriller.
And why is he's the whole thing in Thriller. He's the narration all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't he only show up at the end?
No.
Well, and he's also the laughter of the ghost host in the Phantom Manor in Paris.
He's also Jake Lloyd in the Phantom Menace.
And that's just not true.
Oh.
He is Edward Scissorhands' dad, though.
Yes, mm-hmm. Ben. Good job.
Yeah, I know things.
Good job, Ben.
This is where Egghead decides that he's going to finally finish hatching the dinosaur.
To which I wrote, giant hatchimal.
Everybody get off the floor. Egghead's going to hatch the dinosaur.
Boom, boom. Shuck-a-lug-a-lug-a-boom.
And so...
I quit.
Do you know that song?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I still quit.
Did you open the door and get on the floor? And then everybody walked the dinosaur?
I did do that.
Which I think was the plot of the Mario Brothers movie.
Oh my god, it is!
So, no joke, I just watched the Mario Brothers movie last Saturday.
Right? As part of the podcast?
It was, no, just
for fun?
On my own. It was. Why? It was worse than you would remember. Although, amazingly, at the end, Mario and Koopa have been claimed by Thanos. I'm just saying. There's a moment at the end where they both just sort of, like, disappear.
The snap.
Yeah. Snap, crackle, ash. And they...
Oh, it's a snapture.
The snapture? Oh, I like it. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that... Oh, wait. Spoiler alert, everybody. did you notice that both Spider-Man and the Doctor went the same way? And their last words were, I don't want
to
go.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely did. And I wanted to talk to Scott about that, but he hasn't seen Doctor Who. And I was just like, but why?
So sad. So sad.
No idea what we're talking about right now.
When you said the Doctor, I thought for a second you're talking about Doctor Strange.
Yeah. No, he's apparently planned the whole thing out.
Yes.
Because out of 4 million possible outcomes, only one leads to success.
Yep.
And anyway, this has nothing to do with Batman.
Has anything we've said on this fucking podcast today had anything to do with Batman?
About 50-50.
You went on like a 9-minute riff on Hitler.
And Gilligan's Island.
And Gilligan's Island.
And how the two of them are connected, people. You have to...
Wake up! Wake up!
Well, I would like to say that...
Ben is producing this in his bunker.
Anyways, back to info, Ben.
From all the strings tied together on my wall.
I know what you meant.
We've already discovered that Batman was a Nazi sympathizer.
We did
discover. Wait, what?
Colonel Flink showed up, and Batman was like very totally cool. With yeah, they were
cool with each other.
Old pals.
Just like it's the 1960s. There is a straight up Nazi in Gotham, and Batman's like, "You need to come with us."
Wait,
Batman's
like,
just like, "Cool, see you later, Nazi."
Like this was a crossover episode, like the actual Colonel Clink.
No, like you know how sometimes people will pop out a window.
Oh, got it.
Colonel Clink popped out a window.
Yes, and it was
but as Colonel Clink. That's what I'm asking.
Yes, as Colonel Clink.
I said Colonel Clink popped out a window.
Okay,
I just want
to. Okay, Jesus. Holy Christ!
But yes, Colonel Clink popped out. Not Werner Klempner, Colonel Clink. As Colonel Clink.
That's amazing.
So yeah, Batman's totally down with the Nazis. And you heard it here first, folks. Months ago.
Like probably a year ago.
You heard it here first. A long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away. Oh, so something begins stirring inside the egg and starts to hatch. And all of a sudden, Egghead is shocked that there's a dinosaur hatching out of the egg that he's trying to hatch a dinosaur out of.
I think he was scared, but I don't think he was surprised that there was a dinosaur.
I think he was surprised that it was a rubber dinosaur.
I think he was also sad that it wasn't an egg anymore. Like, it's on brand that this dinosaur ruined the egg that he stole.
Oh, man. There is that realization. That's actually... Oh, wait.
You're not
Hold on,
either.
The egg has to be destroyed to make the dinosaur? Aww. He's not Dino Head.
So he's trying to talk to the dinosaur.
Yes, that he's his daddy.
Ben, what's my note on this? Please stop saying daddy.
Oh.
It's bumming me out.
Really? I liked Vincent Price saying daddy. In fact, can I just get that on a loop? I'm going to fall asleep to that every single night.
Really? You're going to fall daddy. Asleep to that every single night?
Well, eventually I'm going to get too tired. I'm just going to go to sleep.
Anyway.
I didn't say it's going to lull me to sleep. I'm just going to eventually fall asleep after.
Listening to it.
I bet the yoke will be on you. And they, it was a semen joke. And they...
No, wait, hold on. Go back and explain it, because I don't get it.
Well, just the whites.
Talking about the Navy.
I know. Think. Yeah, that's what I think
the
so, too.
The water
yeah.
dinosaur.
Yeah.
In the Navy, you can be a fellow in the...
Isn't there a Muppet singing that?
Yes, Viking pigs singing yeah, okay. in the Navy.
And that's what I think of when I hear that song, which I know is not the usual, but that's how my brain works.
No, that's the correct.
If I can relate anything to Muppets, I just will.
Yeah.
Honest have you thoughts guys... after starting school this week was, maybe I should just go to Oklahoma and go to Muppet school.
We have a dog.
A sweet boy.
We have might have barking.
Come here.
Hi, doggy.
Hi. Oh, hello.
So... they have not paid for this, but you guys should watch the trailer for the Happy Time Murders.
Yeah,
it's great. It looks so good.
Also, I know people who are puppeteers and extras in it, which is pretty cool. Anyway, so the Happy Time Murders is going to be amazing. Oh, so Olga, the Cossacks, and Egghead run away from the dinosaur. Straight out of the building and right into the police carrier.
The paddy wagon.
Which was actually, I really loved that scene. I thought that was a lot of fun to see them run straight in there because they were so terrified. I was like, that's great. That was a fun moment.
That roar was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a decent dinosaur roar. But anyone who's paying any attention to the episode realizes that the dinosaur is not a dinosaur. It is a Batman.
It is a swamp thing.
It is a swamp thing. Well, that was the same suit that was in the museum that we see earlier.
Yeah, I did say earlier there's going to be someone in that suit later.
And
or I thought maybe at that moment.
Yeah.
So it turns out it's Batman who figured that he could, if he got into the fight, there was a chance of people getting hurt. But if he just snuck into the egg and scared them as a dinosaur, then he'd be able to trick them all into just surrendering themselves.
This is the man that watched Molly fall into the thing without a second thought.
Yeah. Wow. Nick has won over my dog, which is impressive because no other guy yet has been able to.
Hi.
We cut to... So it's the end of the episode. We cut to them all having Barbara's birthday dinner, which wasn't a thing.
Just cake.
Yeah.
And also, cake. How sad is her birthday that it's her dad, his work friend, Bruce Wayne. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
And his ward. It's like, you couldn't get, like, just your dad and Bruce Wayne would be invited. Like,
not even,
you didn't have to invite their friends.
Not even the librarian shows up. Like, she didn't even have work friends.
Librarian, yeah.
Librarian, yeah.
I am librarian.
It was
from the planet Library. I guess it would be from the planet Libar.
This also had my favorite moment in the... This actually might have been my true
it's
favorite moment in
the
episode. Was when
the
Biblio
Galaxy. Thank you.
Was it Chief O'Hara says, how did Batman get in the egg? To which... Commissioner Gordon said, well, he hatched his own plot.
Yes.
Everyone acted like that was a satisfying answer.
They laughed. It was a joke.
Yes, but that didn't answer the goddamn question.
Why would they know the answer to that question? It's Batman.
It's Batman?
It's Batman? That's the Jewish Batman.
I'm Russell Batman.
At home, that is specifically how we say Batman and Spiderman.
Spiderman.
Speederman. Yeah.
Supperman.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about that.
And I don't remember... where it was, but they were talking about how the day was saved or something, and one of them, and I don't even know who it was, gave out the most ineffectual woohoo in the background. And it was just woohoo.
We did not mention again how Barbara Gordon
walked
away while Batman was talking to Robin, and they were like, she did it again! She's gone! And I'm like, she walked away casually!
And this was another moment where, she didn't disappear. They literally on camera show her just turning and
like
walking
shrugging,
away.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
walk.
All right. Those two men are once again completely enthralled in their own conversation.
But that conversation, too, what's amazing is, like, that Egghead's lair, the carton or the nest, looks to be giant. And Batman turns to Robin, and their conversation is like, so, like, we did it. Yes, we did. And then they turn around, and she has completely disappeared in walking away.
Yeah.
So she walked away swiftly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she still just walked away.
This happens all the time. Like, men will start talking, and then she walks away casually.
She has no time for this shit.
And they're all like, she disappeared. She did it again. And it's like, no, you just don't pay attention.
There was at least one episode where she was still standing in shot, and they were going, she's gone.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was like, the back of her head is behind a set piece. Like,
she's just checking her phone, walking away. But anyway,
she's resetting the lace on her
motorcycle. Yeah, she has to replace that daily. Do you know how dirty that gets?
She doesn't replace it. She takes it off. She washes it by hand. She hangs it on her balcony. This is the 60s. It's not so wasteful then.
And she gets a call from Skip Parker, her friend at Gotham City Harbor, not Gotham City Harbor, regardless of the Gotham Point. And he's talking to her about how great the surf is, but he's holding his stomach like he's having problems. Did you notice that?
Like, he was just uncomfortable with that cut up sweater.
But he's got a hand on his stomach. And it's like he's having tummy trouble.
The surf's great, but the clams are terrible.
Hey, that's not funny. You can die from that. And
Surf clams?
We have fun.
He was eating high tide pods.
Oh, dear God.
That was a drug and a detergent joke. While he's saying that the surf is great, we see Joker come up. And Joker has a two-way hot dog transmitter.
Yes, he does.
I don't remember what he was going to use it for.
He was talking
matter.
To something.
Oh, okay.
And then also, Riptide and Wipeout were there.
Those are his henchmen.
Yes. But I have a feeling like those henchmen aren't always called Riptide and Wipeout. I have a feeling it was only for this episode. To which...
You know about central henching. Don't act like that's weird.
But... what was amazing, though, is their sweaters said Riptide and Wipeout. Like, those were their names on their sweaters.
Yeah.
Like they do all the time.
It was awesome.
And...
Like, every Penguin episode, their sweaters say something.
I think you mean Pengy.
I did not mean Pengy.
You don't like Pengy?
I hate it.
Aww.
Especially because it's some simpering...
I think you did. Hollingy.
It fits the same scheme. Turns out.
Skeeky?
Do you prefer, let me just ask a question. Do you prefer Pangy or moist panties?
I prefer neither.
What about moist pangies?
That's funny.
Anyway, so our next episode, Joker is going to be taking over the beach and becoming king of the surfers, which means our next episode is the surfing Batman episode.
Yay! We did it!
That's all we were going to get to.
End of podcast.
So, next episode is... Surf's Up, Joker's Under. And if you are enjoying yourself, please leave us a review on iTunes. If you are not enjoying yourself, please tell us everything you don't like about Holly on iTunes. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Batmania66. You can also email us at Batmania66mail@gmail.com. Nick, is there anything you would like to plug?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you can find me at Nicholas C. Pappas on the Twitters. And not to throw out a competing podcast.
Not competing.
Complimentary. I'm starting a podcast called Creating Canon, in which a friend named AJ and I watch canon films. Like, we go through the entire canon of canon. Canon films are most known for the amazing schlock they put out in, like, the 80s. Mostly the 80s. Things like, if you're a Chuck Norris fan, you could think canon. If you like Masters of the Universe or Cobra or Over the Top. These are all canon movies.
Or Superman 4.
Or Superman 4.
The Quest for Peace.
Uh-huh. But the interesting thing, too, is they also...
Which is also the name of my pornographic film.
The Quest for Peace?
Yes. Oh, the Quest for a Peace.
Dude, that is terrible. look for that
soon.
That's it.
That's our porno. Sperm Man 4, The Quest for a Peace.
Oh, boy. I can't even have that associated with the podcast.
And so the hair that they use at the beginning of that movie is not from Superman's head.
Anyways. Creating canon should be up soon. Look for it. It'll be exciting and fun.
Now, the cool thing about creating canon is that it's not just mocking those films. It is trying to find their cinematic worth. And
yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you can't avoid the silliness of a canon film.
Absolutely not.
But trying to find what it is that connects with us.
Because I'm sorry, Breakin' 2
and Rappin' are all canon films.
Have you done them?
No, we have not. We did Rappin', but we did not do Breakin'
and Breakin' 2. Can I do Breakin' and Breakin' 2?
We can talk about that.
Okay.
I think, and Ben makes a great point, like, one of the things that I think is awesome about any kind of, like, outsider-y kind of art, or any kind of art where people, like, just throw things out there, and in some ways... When you have such a budget that you can't afford to do big things, sometimes the most amazing shots or the most amazing lines happen.
This isn't canon. This is actually Monty Python, but the now classic and amazing joke of having all of the squires for the knights follow them around with coconut shells is because they couldn't afford horses.
That's amazing.
And so, I mean, that's one of the classic jokes in cinema is that opening shot of
the horse, the guy with the coconuts.
Of Patsy with the coconuts amazing. Behind him. And it's because they couldn't afford to rent horses.
And that's exactly what we look for in the canon films is, like, we try to learn filmmaking lessons from watching these movies that most people write off as just terrible. That some of them just truly are terrible, but there's almost always a great lesson to be had at the end of the movie. So that's sort of what we do. Kind of, we definitely take our time to make fun, but we also take the time to try to find out, like, what is great about the films.
And so, do you know when about you guys are expecting to launch?
We have recorded a couple of episodes. We're gonna get a little bit of a stockpile going, but we're gonna launch hopefully sometime mid June.
All right, so keep an eye out on all our various social medias, and we'll be making sure to link that so you guys can take a listen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. We will see you guys next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.